Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Why We're Getting Poor: A Realist Guide to the Economy and How We Can Fix It is a contemporary economics book by Cathal Moran that aims to make major economic debates intelligible to non-specialists. Rather than treating economics as a neutral technical field, it argues that many familiar explanations about money, globalization, inequality, climate change, and growth hide deeper power relations and policy choices. Moran, known for his work in behavioral economics and public economics communication, writes in an accessible style that draws on everyday examples and popular culture to clarify macroeconomic ideas. The book is not a textbook and not a polemic in the narrow sense. It is a critical guide to how economic systems actually function, why many people experience stagnation or insecurity, and what kinds of reforms might improve outcomes. Its purpose is both explanatory and corrective, to challenge assumptions, reveal mechanisms that are usually obscured, and suggest practical alternatives. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how the book challenges common myths about money creation and economic power. A central argument of the book is that much of what people assume about money is wrong, especially the idea that governments directly create most of the money in circulation. Moran explains that modern money is largely bank credit created through private lending, which means financial power is distributed through institutions that are often invisible in ordinary economic discussion. This matters because it changes how readers understand inflation, borrowing, banking stability, and the political limits of state policy. By focusing on money creation as a credit system rather than a simple supply of notes and coins, the book shows why economic outcomes depend on rules, institutions, and incentives rather than on abstract market forces alone. The value of this chapter of thought is that it demystifies a topic usually presented as technical and fixed, while making clear that money is a social arrangement shaped by policy choices. That framing also underpins the rest of the book, because if money itself is structured through private power, then wider problems in housing, investment, and inequality become easier to analyze. Secondly, globalization as a politically shaped system, not a neutral world process. The book rejects the idea that globalization is an impersonal force that simply happens to countries. Instead, it presents global economic integration as something that has been organized through power, especially through dominant currencies, large economies, and institutions that set the terms of trade and finance. Moran uses this perspective to show that some nations and firms benefit more than others from the way globalization has been designed. This is important because conventional accounts often describe globalization as efficient and inevitable, which can hide the fact that rules are chosen and can be changed. By stressing uneven bargaining power, the book helps explain why wages, supply chains, debt burdens, and access to investment are distributed so unevenly across countries and social groups. It also helps readers see that economic dependency is not accidental. It can be produced by policy architecture, financial hierarchy, and the political advantages enjoyed by certain currencies and states. The result is a more realistic account of international economics, one that connects trade and finance to sovereignty and inequality. Thirdly, why housing inequality and essential services are linked in the same economic framework, Moran does not treat housing and inequality as separate social problems. He argues that policy structures shape who can access land, homes, and basic services, and that these structures often make life more expensive for ordinary people. A key example is housing, where the book emphasizes the difficulty of separating land from housing policy and the consequences of treating a basic need as a speculative asset. This is connected to inequality, because asset ownership, rent extraction, and access to stable housing all affect how wealth accumulates. The book also extends this logic to essential services, arguing that some sectors should be managed according to their social importance rather than left to narrow profit maximization. This dimension of the book is especially useful because it links lived experience to macroeconomics. Unaffordable housing is not just a market failure in the abstract, but part of a wider system that distributes risk downward and reward upward. Moran's analysis pushes readers to think about institutional design, public provision, and collective responsibility, not just individual affordability. Fourthly, using climate change and growth to question the meaning of economic progress. Another major theme is the relationship between economic growth and environmental limits. Moran examines the common assumption that growth automatically means prosperity and argues that this link is more fragile than many conventional models suggest. In the book, climate change is not a side issue, but a test of whether an economy can keep expanding while ignoring ecological costs. This is a significant move because it forces readers to compare measured output with real well-being and long-term sustainability. The book does not simply claim that growth is bad. Rather, it asks what kind of growth, for whom, and at what environmental cost. By placing climate change alongside inequality in finance, Moran shows that the current economic model can generate damage even when headline indicators look positive. This section is valuable because it broadens economic evaluation beyond GDP and market efficiency. It encourages readers to see that an economy may appear successful in aggregate while still producing insecurity, environmental degradation, and future instability. In that sense, the book reframes growth as a political choice with trade-offs, not a universally beneficial goal. Lastly, practical alternatives, community wealth building, cooperatives, and public control of essentials. The book is not only diagnostic, it also proposes alternatives. Moran highlights community wealth building, cooperative ownership, and communal approaches to land and housing as ways to keep more economic value circulating locally and to reduce dependence on distant private actors. He also argues that essential services should be run as essential services, meaning that social value should guide governance more than short-term profit. This part of the book is important because it prevents the critique from becoming purely negative. Instead of claiming only that the system is broken, Moran sketches institutional changes that could make it fairer and more resilient. The emphasis is on practical reform rather than utopian abstraction, which makes the proposals easier to evaluate. Readers are encouraged to think about ownership, accountability, and local economic power as design questions rather than ideological slogans. This gives the book a distinctive policy orientation. It moves from explanation to reform, showing that economic knowledge should help people imagine alternatives that are already partially visible in cooperatives, local initiatives, and public services. In conclusion, Why We're Getting Poorer will appeal most to readers who want a clear, critical introduction to modern economics without the opacity of academic jargon. It is especially useful for students, teachers, policy readers, and general audiences who sense that standard explanations of inflation, housing, inequality, and growth do not fully match lived experience. The book offers intellectual value by showing how monetary systems, global power, and institutional design shape everyday outcomes in ways that are often left out of conventional discussion. It also has practical value because it points toward reforms in housing, public services, and local wealth building rather than stopping at critique. What distinguishes it from many other books in this genre is its combination of accessibility, breadth, and skepticism toward received wisdom. Moran does not just simplify economics, he questions the framework through which economics is usually taught. That makes the book a strong choice for readers looking for a realistic account of how the economy works and why many people are experiencing worse security despite the language of growth and progress. If you would like to support Cathal Moran, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.